Paola Tester. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project by Anthony Gawley in Trafalgar Square. The date is the 12th of October 2009 and the time is 12:15 p.m. Please could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from?
Yes, certainly. It's Rob McMahon. I'm 35 years old and I'm from South London.
And how are you feeling about going up on the plinth this morning?
This afternoon, I'm really looking forward to it. It's been a bit of a panic the last few days getting myself sorted out, deciding exactly what I was going to do and what I was going to say, and of course getting my costume ready. But now it's coming to the moment, really looking forward to it.
And is that because you recently found out you're going on, or have you just spent a bit of time making a decision about it?
I recently found out. I think it was a second wave of invites that went out. So that was great. Very excited to get it. I initially got an email saying I'd been unsuccessful, so I did a little dance around the room when I got the successful email. And I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. My first instinct was to go up and do some barbecuing as a lunchtime slot and maybe provide some food to the people on the square. But that was in breach of the rules, so I had to come up with another idea. And it was at that point I thought about contacting a friend, a guy who I actually taught to scuba dive about 8 years ago. And he runs an organisation called Bite Back. And what they do is they promote marine conservation by talking to retailers and asking them not to stock things like shark, marlin, swordfish.
And is that something that you're involved with work-wise, or is it something that you do as an interest?
No, it's a personal passion. I mean, I'm a keen scuba diver. I've been diving since I was 12 years old, so quite a few years now. And even I've noticed over that period of time that the wildlife that you see when you go diving is declining. I have two young daughters and I'd like them to have the same pleasures in the ocean that I've had. So it's something I'm very passionate about. I was involved with Graham when he started Bite Back back in 2002, but wandered away from it as work pressures and life pressures got the better of me. So it's great to have an opportunity to come back and help him and help promote Bite Back and the great cause that it is.
And so you've decided to use your hour on the plinth to do that?
Absolutely, yes, that's correct. So I'll be dressed up in, I'm 6 foot, so I'm going to be a 6 foot shark, and I will be talking about what the problem is, and why that matters, what Bite Back are and what they've done and what people can actually do to help as well. So that's sort of, and that'll be around about 10, maybe 15 minutes, depending on how fast I speak. And then it'll just be, have a little walk around, wave at people, and then do the whole thing again. So yeah, really looking forward to it.
And would you mind telling me a little bit about it here in the interview? What is it, why is it that you're so passionate about it?
Yeah.
What is it that you're promoting today?
So I mean, in the last decade, shark meat's become increasingly popular, and it's made the transition from exclusive restaurants to supermarkets, even via gastropubs and eateries. And it's this increased widespread availability that could spell the end of the line for shark. And when you look at what the shark does in the ocean, he's the apex predator. So he is top of the food chain, and what he enables and ensures is eco-biodiversity within the oceans, within the reefs, and that promotes healthy reefs and healthy living. And what a lot of people don't realize is that if we don't have a healthy ocean, we won't have a healthy planet. I mean, it's almost 80% of the planet's oxygen comes from the oceans. So if we're not looking after them, then we're going to have a very, very serious issue. And over the last 25 years, I think, well, in the 1950s, they did some research on the number of sharks in the ocean. And from those numbers there to where we are today, so that's what, just over 50 years, 60 years, they think there's only 10% of that pool left. We're killing 100 million sharks every year. That's 270,000 every day. It's quite shocking.
And do you find that people don't really take an interest in the subject because there's a bad press with sharks as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I mean,
it's difficult to get the message across.
Yeah, I mean, shouldn't we be afraid of sharks? I mean, that's what we're all told. And our fear and ignorance of sharks sort of results in people not caring about them, like you pointed out. Some people even think it's a great idea to kill them, which is just so wrong. I mean, unfortunately, the media perpetuates this fear and misunderstanding through sensational programming. And one of the things I'm going to say when I'm up on the plinth is, I mean, the United Press International, released the press statement, and the headline of that statement was "Girl 17 Survives Shark Attack in Florida." Very sensationalist. When you go in and actually read the article, you find the following quote from the beach patrol officer, the guy on the beach who actually went down and helped and rescue her. And it's, "The teen was barely hurt in Wednesday's attack. It was a 3-band-aid shark attack. She didn't even need to go to hospital. It was literally 3 little plasters and away she went." The title, "Girl Survives Shark Attack in Florida." It's quite shocking. I mean, if you put things into perspective, you've got a 1 in 1,034 chance of drowning. You've got a 1 in 5,051 chance of being in an air or space accident. Yet only a 1 in 3,748,067 chance of being in a fatal shark attack. There's actually more deaths on beaches from people being smothered by collapsing sand holes than shark bites. So we do get a little bit carried away with our fear of sharks.
And for you personally, how did you first discover this passion? What got you interested? And you've obviously carried it through for a number of years. What is it about it?
It's the first time I saw a shark in the wild. I was very lucky. I was able to start scuba diving at the age of 12. I went diving with my father, and we were diving in Australia in a Great Barrier Reef, and we were just swimming around a coral bommy, and I stuck my head in and had a little look, and inside, lying on the sand, there were 3 nurse sharks just sitting there looking back up at me. And from that moment I was just taken. There was such a beautiful, graceful creature. Like I said, the apex predator in the ocean, yet much like you go walking safaris looking for lions, you can go on a swimming safari looking for sharks. They're not going to kill you unless you're very unfortunate. And I've been fortunate enough to dive in South Africa and dive with great whites, and also with the Zambezi shark. So the great whites, you have to go in a cage, unfortunately. They won't let you go out. I suppose it's fortunate, really. But with the Zambezis, which are an equally massive shark, but also with a nasty reputation, you just swim in the open water with them. And we swam with 5 Zambezi sharks in Halliwell Shoals, and it was just amazing, absolutely fantastic.
And were you not scared the first time you saw a shark, or have you had any time when you have been afraid?
Not really. I mean, you get to understand them. And once you know that a shark isn't going to hunt you down and kill you just because you're in his water, you realise that you can actually go and view them. As long as you show them respect, they generally show you respect. Even with the great whites, the most fearsome shark, there's footage and documentaries of people snorkeling with them and holding onto their fins. I wouldn't recommend that, but if you know what you're doing and you understand the shark and the shark's behaviour, then once you have that knowledge, then you can interact with them very safely. Much like you would if you were out with lions or elephants in the African bush. You wouldn't go up and pull a lion's tail, but you would go walking and then come round and probably get back into your vehicle, but you wouldn't try and run the thing over or shoot it, unless you had a camera, obviously. So it's really about promoting the knowledge, understanding what we know about other animals, and sharing that with sharks before it's too late.
And what is the impact that you would like to have by going up and doing this today?
I'd like more people to be aware that we are killing so many sharks. I mean, every time I think of the number, 100 million sharks killed every year, I find that just staggering. And I don't think people really realise that it's that bad. And when you look at things like line fishing, people think that, okay, that's a good way of fishing. Yet they think of quaint little fishing boats. They don't think of these great big industrial fish factories with 40 miles of line, up to 40,000 hooks towed behind them, with a 2% hit rate. So 2 out of every 100 hooks is actually catching the target catch. The other 98 are pulling in turtles, seabirds, sharks. It's a very inefficient way of fishing, and it's devastating our oceans. So if people can become a little bit more aware of that, that's great. If they want to take it a step further and become proactive, they can have a look at our website, www.bite-back.com. And there's some advice on there about what people can actually do to help. Simple things like, don't buy shark meat, don't buy marlin, don't buy swordfish. And by putting that sort of pressure on the retailers, removing the demand for the fish, we hope that it will go back up the chain and stop the fishing. So there's a couple of things you can do. There's on our website we have a page with some email templates which you can send straight out to the people who buy the fish. It's the fish buyers at the supermarkets, which are in violation, we believe, of what they're selling shark, they're selling marlin, they're selling swordfish, and orange roughy is another fish that's on the endangered list. If you know a place that has shark on the menu, we ask you to respectfully and calmly have a discussion with the manager of that restaurant and tell them what you know about fish and sharks and why it shouldn't be on the menu, and hope to encourage them not to do that. And we have some guidelines about how to do that in a tactful, polite way on our website. And we also have a merchandise page where we've got t-shirts and hoodie jumpers, and we're very fortunate in that we have a calendar that we issue every year. And award-winning underwater photographers from around the world, people like David Dublé, Michael Orr, Alex Mustard, have kindly donated their photographs for the calendar. And they were in the 2009 calendar, and the 2010 calendar is being put together as we speak. It hasn't gone to the printers yet, just getting its final touches, but that's looking to be as awesome, if not better, than last year's. So if you want to support us, then number one, please go out and talk to the supermarkets. Number two, if you know somewhere selling shark meat in a restaurant, have a polite conversation with them and try and discourage them from doing that. And if you want to go further and promote us even more, then we have some merchandise that you can purchase online.
And what's the website that people can go to?
It's www.bite-back.com.
And I gather then that you actively campaign or work for this, then you're not just using today to do it. Do you do other things that
So I was active in the early days, and I've kept a very I've got two young daughters who take up the lion's share of my time, but I like to keep in contact with their website, and I've sent lots of emails out, and they've had some great successes. I mean, if you think about the restaurants, I mean, within 20 minutes of here we have the first Michelin star Chinese restaurant, Hakkasan, and Bite Back have gone to them and convinced them to remove shark from the menu. So thank you very much, Hakkasan. And if you're in London and you want a Chinese meal, I think there is nowhere better to go. So go and have a chat with them.
And so would you mind telling me how you spend the rest of your time? You don't work in this
thing
that you do in your...
No, I'm an IT consultant, which is incredibly boring in comparison to crusading on behalf of sharks. And I work for a large American company, Hewlett-Packard, in their software division. So I'm an evangelist of one of their software portfolios. So I spend a lot of time traveling around Europe, talking to customers about things like data center automation. So very, very different.
And outside of your work, this is obviously one of your passions. Mm-hmm. What are some of your other interests?
I love photography, mainly wildlife, and I do a lot of underwater photography. Unfortunately, my photographs aren't quite good enough to get into our calendar. But it's something I do love, although I have two very young daughters, one 3 and one who's not even 1 yet, and I spend a lot of time looking after them. They're bundles of fun. Even when you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning for the 8th night in a row, that little face smiling at you when you go in there it makes you melt inside. So.
And what are some of the other things that are important to you in your life at the moment?
They take up a lot of time. really just being happy and relaxed, I guess. We've had a fantastic summer on and off here, so some days have been wonderful, some days have been torrential rain, and I've enjoyed that. I wanted to get away and have a nice holiday in the sun, but I think we've missed our chance this year, maybe next. Yeah, that's really it. Family, work, and then when I can help with the shark cause, I that as well.
And you're obviously going up on the plinth with a cause. Is there anything, or is there any part of you when you're doing it for anyone else? Is it something that you're doing for yourself? Did you always know that you were going to do this when you got a spot on the plinth?
It wasn't something I planned beforehand. I didn't think, this is what I want to do, I'll get on the plinth. I thought, God, I can get on the plinth, that'd be great. And then I don't normally win lotteries or prizes or things like that, so I wasn't expecting to get a slot, and I was quite shocked and delighted when I did. And as I said, I primarily thought I'd do a barbecue. And then when that wasn't possible, I thought maybe I'd dress in a giant pigeon suit. And then I thought, let's do something useful with my hour. It's been a while since I did something very useful. So I contacted Graham and asked him if he'd be okay for me to go up and talk about the cause. It's something which has always been important to me. And it's not getting better at the speed that we need it to get better. Awareness is rising, but it needs to be needs a little boost. And if this can help in any way, then that'd be fantastic.
And do you have any expectations about the hour and how it will go?
I'm expecting it to be incredibly hot inside the shark suit and to be heckled by my three-year-old. Other than that, I think it will go okay. Hopefully I won't fall off. I think time will fly up there. I think everyone seems to come back in and say that. And I'm sure that'll be the case for me as well. And if we can even convince one other person to talk to one restaurant and stop them from selling shark fin, it'll be a success.
Have you ever taken part in arts projects before?
No, not really.
And what has your experience of this been like so far?
It's been great. Everyone's been very friendly. It's been very inclusive. The guys who called me up on the phone making sure that I knew what was going on and was going to be here on time have been incredibly helpful. And it's been a wonderful experience.
And you've spoken about the impact you'd like to have on the people watching. Mm. What would you like to take away from it?
Personally, I don't really need to take anything away from me. If we can just do one thing and promote the sharks, that's great. You probably won't see my face up there because I'll be in the shark costume, so it's not about me, it's about the sharks.
And finally, if you think back to your profile on the website, you asked for three words there that describe you. Do you remember what you put and why?
I put shark raving mad. Because I am.
Wonderful. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us before we finish that we might not have asked you?
No.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. Have a great hour.
Thank you.